Live from Vortex Dome, Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming.
With tonight's guest, Emmy Award-winning dance producer, Teresa Taylor.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky. Where the stars
and musical guest, Veer McCoy. I am Mark Lejeur, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
For those who know me know that I like to have fun, and at least I thought I did. I do, actually, but at least I thought I had fun, and I do, but it's about helping people have fun for me, which is fun for me. But it's usually I encourage my clients or people in workshop, and I provide a safe space for people to have fun on the show with our guests and all that. It's about that for me, and I love that. And I haven't given much thought to just me being in a safe place where I could just have fun. And I'm in safe places all the time, but I don't know if I always just let go. And this weekend, a friend of mine invited me out to a resort. And so on Sunday, she started showing me around the resort. And she said, this is the spa pool where we're going to be. And then this is the adult pool. And then this is the young adult pool. And you got to see the kids pool, which we could hear from all the other pools pretty much. And when we got to the kids pool area, that had so much fun stuff going on. This lazy river and slides and things to that water fell on. I mean, it was just, it looked like a real fun thing to do, to be there. And it was full of kids. And it was for the kids. So we left. She just wanted me to see it. And then we left, and then we went into the spa pool, in which there were like three of us, and that was it all day, and that was all very nice. But around 6 or 7 o'clock, I said to my friend, you know, I bet the kids are all out of the pool having dinner with their parents. And she said, but it's a kid's pool. And I said, but there were parents in the pool, and they looked like they were having fun. And she says, well, we can go check it out, but I doubt they'll still be there. Anyway, we got there, and there was almost nobody there except, like, five lifeguards. And I thought, let's go. And she's looking at me like, don't make me do this. So we get in and we do the lazy river, and now we're starting to let go and let loose. And the lifeguards are looking at us laughing, because at this point now there are no kids in there and it's just us. And they're watching us. And then she said, do you want to go down the slide? And I said, yes, let's. She said, no, do you want to go down the slide? I said, yeah, I do. Let's go. She's like, no, I don't want to do it. It's for the kids. And I'm like, then why are you sending me? And she says, because you want to do it. I just know you. And I did. And she wasn't going to go. And I thought, I want to do it. Like, I really, really want to do it. And so I went up and apologetically said to one of the lifeguards, is it okay if I do this? And she said, yeah, of course. Use this one. This one's more fun. There were two of them. I went down that thing, started laughing so loudly. It went fast. It swirled, and it turned me upside down. And I was giggling. And when I came out, my friend said, I could hear you all the way up there. And I said, that was fun. You have to do it. And she said, no. But I said, but I'm going to do it again. And I did it again. And by this point, she saw my face. She heard me. And I said, you really have to try. And then she did it. And then you couldn't get us off the thing. And the lifeguards were laughing and they were having fun with us. And it looked like they wanted to jump in with us. And I thought, what was I apologizing for? How many times do we say, that's for the kids, or leave the singing, or leave the dancing to the professionals, or don't quit your day job? And we keep ourselves from having fun and really letting go. And that's why I really couldn't wait to have this conversation with Teresa Taylor, where I feel like dance is one of those things we all keep ourselves from, and there's something there, just like that slide, that if I got into it, I think I'd be giggling and laughing just like a happy kid, and I want to be that happy kid as often as I can. So when we come back, we're going to be talking with Teresa Taylor and actually talk about fun. Veer McCoy does all kinds of music, but he's brought his comedy songs tonight. So we're all going to have some fun here on the Life Changes Show when we come back right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio sitting here with Mark Lejeur, and this is the Life Changes Show. And Mark, it's almost as if we want, you know, this thing to go bing. It is now safe to have fun throughout the planet.
We talk about this all the time. I'm so excited for tonight's show, for the work and the play that Teresa has done professionally and in her nonprofit world. We have Rissy here from Sakamba, who's a partner. It's all about creativity and dance and community, and it really embodies everything we've talked about in terms of what we aspire to bring forward into the world. I know lately I've been saying I wasn't really good at being an adult, so I stopped.
Right.
But so your monologue was you know, so touching and so relevant. I'm really excited for tonight.
Well, I thank you and agreed. And I think you make a great adult. I think you make a great kid, too.
Good. And I'm going to do more of that.
Okay. Well, with that, here, our guest inspired us to call the show The Dance of Life. She is a dance, music, and television 3-time Emmy Award-winning producer, and so much more. She is the founder of Global Dance Initiative. Teresa Taylor, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
How did you get into dance?
Oh, you knew. He planted this question. I grew up in the Shirley McPhail School.
You went down a slide.
I went down the slide. Now, as a kid, you know, I was that kid that my mom put in dance class at the Shirley McPhail School of Dance in Austin, Texas.
Aww.
And then I just enjoyed it. It was my hobby. It was my fun. And, you know, that's what little girls did back then. We didn't have any boys in our classes back then, unfortunately. And then in high school, I got into drill team, and I can laugh about it, but I got to say it shaped my entire universe. It shaped everything about who I am, not only because it was fun, but because I had to get along with 62 other girls. And we danced together. We did it. We worked as a team. We worked individually. And it taught me a lot of leadership skills and business skills that carried forward into my life. So
it taught you a lot of leadership skills. You actually had a tool to be a leader that you were given at one point.
I was given a little white whistle. And funny enough, I found that little white whistle last weekend in a magic box of memories that I...
Seriously?
The timing was so odd. In fact, on my Facebook page today, I've been sharing some of those memories with my former clients. But yes, I have that white whistle.
Did you blow it?
I did. Oh, yeah. And I waited to see who lined up. But no, it was actually, you know, it was fun. I would blow the whistle. When I was captain, I got the opportunity, and the girls would... You know, it was a cue for us to all come together and start. So, yes, I had my magic leadership tool as a 17-year-old in Texas, which was a little dangerous.
And how appropriate, because later on it wasn't dangerous. Later
right.
on it was in good hands. And you used it to help manage some of the biggest dancers in the dance world and to start putting together dance events, shows, and eventually the organization, which actually, how did you move from dance to your career?
Okay, so I look at life as a puzzle. Actually, I had a very wise man tell me recently that my puzzle was coming back together. But I think our lives are a puzzle, and they are little pieces on the floor sometimes, and then we put them together, and then we break them apart, and then we put them back together. And I didn't really realize that all the pieces of my puzzle were going to come together the way they did. But I went to University of Texas, got a business degree in marketing, and I thought I was going to come out to L.A. and work. Well, actually, I didn't even know I was going to come to L.A. I accidentally came here for spring break and fell in love with it. And then I was introduced to some dancers, and I never expected at 21 years old to start an agency for dancers. But I did. I wrote my business plan, and I presented it to an agency, and they said yes. And so I became the second dance agent in the industry. And this was in, I'm going to date myself, but this was in 1987. And this was when music videos were exploding. And this is when dancers needed representation.
Wow,
they were being paid $50 and asked to jump through fire, literally, and not fed a pizza. So we had to do a lot of work from the late 80s to when I stopped agenting in the late 90s. To get dancers respected and their union contracts changed and to bring them up to par in the professional world. The work continued after I stopped that part of my career, but we did a lot of work back then. But during that time, because of music videos, I didn't even know I was working with some of the industry leaders at the time because some of them were so young. They were younger than me even, and I was 21 when I started being their agent. I didn't tell them I was 21. I didn't tell anybody my age till I was 25, and then I had a big party. But I didn't tell anybody my age because I didn't want to be scared of it. But I just was doing it and learning with them and learning with the industry and learning with my associates along the way what needed to be done. And we were forging ahead and doing it. So, yeah, I got to work with so many of them, and so many of them are still working, and they're doing... They're doing everything. They're doing every tour, show, commercial. It's a family. The professional dance world's a real family. And I am amazed at how many of them are still dancing. I won't even say what age they are, but they're everywhere. And La La Land was so much fun because it was everybody. Just everybody was on that street dancing that I know.
It's interesting to have this conversation with you because you know the top of the top of the dancers. Mm-hmm. And yet we're talking about dancing for everybody today, right?
Right.
Because I actually even asked you, do you think anybody can dance? There's this thing like, do you think you could dance? But in actuality, you think everybody can.
Absolutely. You know, I think that is one of the biggest frustrations is that people look at dance. The professionals are so good at what they do. They really are, and they make it look so easy. But people think that they have to do choreography, that they have to do sequences of steps, that they have to have this skill to lift their leg above a certain level to be a dancer. But the truth is that life is filled with opportunities to dance. So as I started producing and as I started working through my career, I'm doing the same thing that everyone I know is doing at my age and looking to my future and saying, you know, how do I want to throw those puzzle pieces on the floor and put them back together again? And what do I want that puzzle to be at the end of the day? And what I realized was I wanted to keep dance in my life. So I started sitting one day on the computer and looking to see, I was like, I'll start a nonprofit. I'll start something with dance. And then I started looking and I realized there are so many people doing so many amazing things. And I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to tell their stories. So
when we come back, we're going to get to hear some of those stories as we talk more with Teresa Taylor, and then a little later on, live music with Veer McCoy here at the Vortex Dome, LA, live on the Life Changes Show. When we come back after this.
Hey guys, so I'm here to tell you about a little thing called the DNA Institute. You probably haven't heard of it yet, but I wanted to let you in on it because it completely changed my life. A few years ago, I was about 30 pounds overweight. I wanted a career, good friends, a loving family, and financial success, and unfortunately, I didn't have any of it, so I ate. Within 6 months, the DNA Institute made me lose 30 pounds. This is not a lie. That completely happened. It doesn't matter what exactly your situation is or how much you have to lose. The Institute will get you to your goal weight. It's not a supplement or a diet pill. It's a real doctor-prescribed custom medical treatment. It rebalances your hormones, heals your metabolic and digestive system, and makes your higher functioning brain so loud that it becomes impossible to overeat when you're full. Whew, it's a mouthful, but yours won't be. So many of my friends and family turned to the DNA Institute after they saw my success, and all of them lost their desired weight, ranging from 8 to 60 pounds. I promise you, this is different than anything you've ever tried before. They've been in Beverly Hills since 1982. You can even give them a visit, drop by, or just head to their website, DNA.com. That's DIENNET.com to learn more and get your customized formula made today.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark here on The Life Changes Show, and our guest is Teresa Taylor. We're talking about dance, and if you want to learn more about her and what we're about to talk about now, you can go to globaldanceinitiative.com. That's globaldanceinitiative.com. And before we talk about Global Dance Initiative, not only do you think that everybody can dance, you think everybody should dance. Why should we dance?
We should dance because it's primal. And
primal.
It is primal. It's what our bodies want to do. It's what we want to do naturally. I think not dancing is not natural. Mm. What we really want to do is put on music and move. And when we do that, it just makes us feel different. I mean, I don't need to come up... I could come up with all kinds of philosophical... It calms our mind. It feeds our spirit. I can have a lot of great one-liners about it. But the truth is, it just brings joy. It just makes you feel good. And I say all the time that if in the corporate boardrooms or... If this could happen, it would really change the world. When Congress goes into session, if they would just put on some music and make everybody dance for 30 seconds to a minute,
wow,
it would reset everybody's spirit, and it would reset everything to the place where I think we would have a completely different world. Because it would bond everybody in the room in a way that you would smile, you would laugh, you would feel good inside. For that 1 minute, you wouldn't think. You wouldn't dislike the person next to you because you're supposed to, or be mad about what they're going to talk about that day. You would just let it go. And, you know, we're pitching meditation, and meditation is amazing. Prayer, meditation, it's all about quieting your voice. It's all about the Miguel Ruiz voice of knowledge, quiet the voices. Mm-hmm. You know what? When you're dancing, your voices are not only quiet, they are happy. They are happy inner voices, and they just make you feel better or different. If you're upset, when my mother made me clean the house when I was young, my mother taught me to clean my house really well, but we put on Elvis and we sang into the vacuum cleaner and we had fun, and I remember it to this day. So I want more people to suspend the belief that dance, I mean, professional dancers are the most amazing, soulful, beautiful human artists on this planet. Mm. And, you know, any dancer can speak to each other without a language because they speak the same language. Mm. But if we can suspend as an average person who hears the word dance and feels like it's not for them, mm-hmm. and we just put on music, even at a wedding, just get out of the chair, just go dance. You can't help. You're smiling. There's no way you're not smiling with Uncle Joe when you're dancing. I mean, even if, you know, you and Uncle Joe may not have the same political views, you can dance together, laugh, look at each other's eyes, and enjoy each other's spirit for that 3 or 4 minutes that it happens. So I want everybody up and dancing, and I promise it would be a different world if we could make that happen in Congress.
Okay, let's put on some music. No, yeah. But, or yes, but, so, you know, before we move on, you said there's no voice inside of you. But what if there's that voice that says you can't dance, or people are watching you dance, and, you know, you look funny, and you get embarrassed and all that? So,
well, there's a saying that says dance like nobody's watching. And if we could start our days, if we could have our kids start our days, even in their bedrooms, shut the door, turn on some music, and just move, even just while you're brushing your teeth, anything, if you could just move, it would bring you a form of meditation. a different form of meditation. It would bring a different little spark in the morning that we're missing in this world.
So by yourself, even?
Yeah. Oh, definitely by yourself. You know, if you're comfortable in a group, you're not comfortable hiding in a group of people at a wedding or in some other social situation at a work party, then you know what? Just close your door and put on the music really loud and have some fun.
You were talking about when your puzzles fall apart. And, mm-hmm. you know, there are definitely a couple of times where I dropped my puzzles and
yep.
lost a few puzzle pieces. But my most healing moments would be to go run into the trails, into the canyons, and turn the music up and dance while I'm there.
Yeah.
Mm.
Nice. We don't talk about it. You know, we don't have this conversation. We're teaching our children meditation in school, which is so vital, and I believe in it. I will support it. But if the teachers would put on some music at the beginning of the day and let those kids move the whole or three or four times a day when they're all antsy and when they just need to do what their bodies are meant to do, which is move that primal side of themselves.
Mm.
You know, I walked through a school the other day in Huntington Beach and I was thoroughly impressed, but they have balls for the kids to sit on now. My daughter is 25, so I haven't been in a school in a long time, in elementary school. But they're letting them sit on balls. They're letting them sit on stools where they can move as they're doing their homework or their classwork. And we're meant to move.
Hmm.
We're meant, you know, what's not natural, again, is not moving.
Well, one last thing on that. You also said that there are different ways to dance, like in your mind or something.
Yeah, I think when you see people in their cars and they're just jamming out.
In the car, yeah.
I mean, you can't help but smile. Come on. If they're like banging their head and shaking it around, you love it. But the truth is, I think we don't even allow ourselves to believe that we're dancing emotionally. But if we allow ourselves to just feel our bodies from an internal place moving while we're driving or sitting in a meeting or on that airplane when the movie, you know, when the music's playing and you can't move because the person next to you's got you so pinned in. But if you can allow yourself to feel the music and dance within, then you're not trapped.
Wow.
You're not trapped anymore inside your own skin.
So you believe in this concept so much that you've taken it so many steps further and found heroes that inspire everybody to be able to dance and want to be more free. And that's part of what the global initiative that you created, Global Dance Initiative that you created. What's that about?
Okay, so when I was doing my own life, soul searching a little bit about wanting to travel, but what was my travel, what purpose was my travel going to have, and what I wanted to do to keep dance in my life, I just was in awe of the people that I found that are using dance as a life force. And what kept coming up to me was they're using it to heal, they're using it to inspire, but they're using it to connect. And that connect word is one, I think, inspiration is common terminology, and we think about that. We think about healing,
mm-hmm.
but connecting. It's connecting communities, it's connecting families, it's connecting humans to humans. So with the initiative, I look for heroes that are using dance. This is way outside the professional world, although a lot of them are former professional dancers, but to heal, connect, or inspire. And that is, to me, the life force of dance. So I sit humbly in front of a group of heroes, and when I am having a day where the world's swirling around me and I can't find my own center, I literally go to my own website. And you know what I do? I read the quotes from the people that I feature. And I did that before I came here tonight. Sometimes I just need to feel their energy, and I need to be in awe of what they're doing.
So I went to your website before our interview, or actually when we spoke earlier, and I got teary-eyed. I wanted to watch more. I was inspired. I felt connected more to me. And we talked about it on the phone, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And so why? Tell us what's happening in some of those videos.
So I will leave people out, but I will hit some of the high points. There's a beautiful young girl, Melanie Buderazzi, who's working with foster teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's transforming lives. I mean,
yeah.
Dance for Parkinson's is one of the most stunning programs out there, and it's spreading globally, and they have online videos now. But it's the most amazing thing. People who have never danced a day in their life can come into these classes, And it literally, when the music is on and when they're given the movement, they can do things that they cannot do physically with their bodies when the music stops.
Because they have Parkinson's.
Yeah. So between now and when we talk 5 years from now, when we come back and compare notes, the research on the neurology and the neurological effects of music and dance are going to be astounding, because they're already amazing now. But science is proving that when people are moving and doing things, that it causes a physical change in their bodies.
Wow.
So now they're doing online videos, so people can do this at home. They can center themselves, they can do these movements, and then they can maybe go and pack a bag of groceries that they couldn't physically do without this help. There's a woman in São Paulo, Brazil, who's working with the blind, and it is amazing. I got to meet some of the lead dancers when they came here to the United States to visit.
Dancing.
Oh, full on classical ballet. And the way, if you go watch her video on our site, you'll see the way she teaches them to become very in tune with different parts of their body and feel it in a way that we don't understand, because we're not without eyesight, or other dancers don't understand. I mean, it's mind boggling. Two of my heroes have programs with Down syndrome. And if you actually hit the site now, you're going to see a short film that we did, which is the first of what I hope is a series called Global Dance Heroes.
Yeah.
And I want to do these short profiles, short meaning short film style profiles on these guys, because their stories need to be told. But we brought Colleen Perry, who works with a program here in Santa Monica called Free to Be Me, to Madrid to meet another angel hero who has a different kind of program, but with Down syndrome. And they were able to work together, meet each other, compare notes, cry, laugh about their work, and they're still bonded even to this day. So it goes on and on. There's even a program in the prisons. And at first I thought, that's too controversial, I can't feature
in
that.
In the prisons.
Right. But when the founder was explaining it to me, she says, not only does it create better humans that may get out, some of them are in for life, some of them are not, but when they do get out, you know, it's obvious they have something to believe in and some way to believe in themselves. But the ones that are not going to get out, when they talk to their son or their brother or their uncle or whoever it is on the phone or visit with them, the pride that they have as a human being changes the lives of the people that are outside.
Wow.
And that, to me, was why, that's the connectivity.
Wow.
Diavolo, which is right down the street here from the Dome, they did a program called La Familia, where they just brought families together, and they danced together, and they ate together. They had dinner, and they danced, and they touched, and they just had fun. And people have said that changed their whole family dynamic, which means that'll change generations of people. So,
wow,
you know, one family that's dealing with Down syndrome, or autism, or Parkinson's, or some other special ability, you know, that one person affects so many people.
Wow.
That these programs don't just affect that one person that they're including. It affects, you know, lots of people for their entire life.
We were recently having a conversation about interventions, like drug interventions or alcohol interventions with family, and that they could be so very different. And as you're sharing this with me, I'm thinking, an intervention where everybody danced together. Wow. Or in the case of a Down syndrome person, child, what have you, for the family to come together and dance together, as opposed to, here, we're taking care of you or we're doing this for you, that they all did that together, just an activity they could all do together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it goes without saying that there's underserved communities around the world who just need a little joy. They just need someone to come and show them something that makes them smile. It makes them want to play, like we were talking about. There's an organization in California called the Wooden Floor Society, and I just got an email from them today that they have, for the 15th year in a row, had a perfect high school graduation rate. Because what they do is they bring in students, they have to apply, and it's a dance program, an after-school program, but then they provide them with tutoring and a safe space to dance and to do their work and to be counseled. And they have a really high rate of college graduations as well, but every single person that walks in that door, their life's going to be changed, which means their whole family's life is going to be changed.
Wow.
And their children's life is going to be changed. So it's kind of amazing. So when I sit at home in my own little bubble sometimes, or when I'm stressed out on a job or watching the news, I go to my own site for inspiration, because it's not about me, it's about them. They are amazing human souls.
And that site is Global Dance Initiative, globaldanceinitiative.com. We'll get to talk a little bit more with Teresa Taylor. I am so inspired and moved right now. Thank you so much. And in our next segment, we have our Ask Dorothy segment. And then Veer McCoy is going to perform some comedy songs for us live on the Life Changes Show when we come back here at the Vortex right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Teresa Taylor. As we're learning, she's dance, music, and television, three-time Emmy Award-winning producer, and she started the Global Dance Initiative, again, globaldanceinitiative.com. You know, I couldn't help but think, Teresa, that it was my laughter and as I was coming down that slide and just my, you know, my smile or what have you, that made my friend ultimately decide that she wanted some of that. Like, I couldn't force her. Like, she's like, I want that. And I'm thinking, like when somebody's dancing and is into it, like so many people on your website, you want that for yourself too. Like, it's a natural thing. It's like an international language.
It is. Well, dance transcends all language, and that's why you can just communicate with your heart, and you can communicate just differently with people without using words or needing those boundaries of language. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the most fun things to do, these have been making the news, and I love this, is that when people have been getting trapped in airports, there have been different dance groups that have been traveling for conventions or competitions, and they have gotten up
nice.
And gotten those trapped passengers
oh.
on their feet. They've performed for them, gotten them dancing, and then, you know, you can go and find videos of people dancing on buses and getting people up and just dancing with them.
Mm.
In China, I visited China recently, and they dance on the street corners and in the parks, and these are just the people. They come home from work, and as opposed to watching TV, they put on a little jam box, and I mean like literally a boom box
mm-hmm.
from like our 80s,
mm-hmm.
and they just dance together. And so I went to the park in Harbin, China, and they were doing the polka on a Sunday afternoon. And others
Aww.
That we were driving down the street were just on the corner. So I think if there's anything we can do for ourselves, it's just let ourselves move. And it could be an all-out dance. It could be alone. It could be with other people. It can be in our minds when we're in our car and we feel trapped. But just let ourselves move.
And the more we do that, the more we inspire others to do the same.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so to be inspired to do that, go to globaldanceinitiative.com for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
And actually, I like how you said people could go there and be inspired. on days where they need it. And you want more people to be dancing. And how about people coming to support as well? You could use the support at your organization, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I mean, the support would be, I mean, if it can be financial, then we will build more profiles of these heroes. I will tell their stories in bigger and louder ways. But I never went into this to fundraise. I went in this to work hard and to creatively share the stories. But I do aspire to find more heroes. And something that your listeners can do for me is help me find them.
Mm.
Help me find them. Go on the website and nominate somebody. Tell me who they are.
Nice.
Or tell me a story. There's a collective journal where people can write their own story and they can share their own situation or how it's impacted them in their own voice, and we'll share that on the site.
Nice. And that's at globaldanceinitiative.com. Teresa Taylor, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
A pleasure for sure. Next time we're going to dance.
Okay. I'm going to bring some of these heroes in the room.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Yes, we do. Dear Dorothy, my name is Janice, and I live in Miami, Florida. My brother lives with me, and he is constantly losing things and says over and over and over again, I can't find my favorite screwdriver, or I don't know where I put the vitamins. Except for these things, his memory appears to be just fine, and I want to know how I can help him remember the everyday things that drive him up the wall and stresses him out. It is hard to be around him as he goes through the daily struggle to find things. How can I help him?
Dear Janice, our words are so powerful, and what we say is extremely important because we are creating our reality with every thought, word, and action. Our voice commands our bodies, our minds, and our spirits. Words are powerful forms of energy, and we must learn to use them to benefit us rather than create chaos in our minds. It appears that your brother is stuck in a program that doesn't serve him. Every time one says things like, I can't, I won't, I don't like it, I don't know, I am trying, I will try, we are literally stopping our growth. I occasionally still find myself saying silly things like, I can't find my keys. And when I hear myself say this, I immediately change my words. I know exactly where I put my keys, and then I remember exactly where they are. I have also enlisted my family and my friends to remind me that I may wish to change my thoughts and words to ones that support me, and they gently do so. You could not only help your brother, but you can help yourself by asking him to remind you of how important our words are, because I'm pretty sure you self-sabotage yourself occasionally too. So the best way to help him is to ask for his assistance in helping you keep your actions, your words, your thoughts positive so you could become self-empowered and use these moments to create positive outcomes by becoming a good example of how to do this. You're doing everything possible to help him.
But if I use this advice, I won't get all the extra exercise running back and forth from my car to the house to find things. And if any of you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And with that, we'll be right back with our musical guest, Veer McCoy, live here at the Vortex Dome LA on the Life Changes Show.
Self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The
Light Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Light Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo sitting here with our guest, Teresa Taylor, and of course, Mark Legere, and our musical guest joining us, Veer McCoy. He has, he's done so much, but here today with us, he's a musician, but a producer, a composer, a lyricist, worked with many bands, recorded over 200 songs of his own. Welcome to the show, Veer McCoy.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. And we should say thank you to Colin Martin, who first introduced us, and then your wife, actually, Heather Christie, who reintroduced us.
Right. She's a great musician. He's a great musician. All in the same bunch of bananas.
Okay. You record all kinds of music with all kinds of people. Your music's been used by Spike Lee, for example, in one of his movies and all kinds of stuff. What I love that you've come here to do some comedy songs, and yet that's on one end of the spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum, you do these like really spiritual songs that help guide people spiritually. So to you, it's all what?
Yeah, I think of it like a rainbow, and there's many different shades of the rainbow, and I like to sample all the colors and all the flavors over the years.
Nice.
And I've tried to put myself into one category before, and it just doesn't work like that. It just ends up being that songs just come out of me, and I just have to let them come out, and some of them go into different boxes or different categories.
Mm-hmm. But not you. But not you.
Right. Not me. Yeah, it just comes through me. And if a kid's song comes through me.
And kids' songs, too, right?
Yeah, I do kids' music. I do comedy.
Dance music.
Dance music, yeah. Shamanic music, devotional music, singer-songwriter stuff, pop music that I've been working with Heather. And my dad was a jazz musician, so I just love music in its many, many different forms. I love challenging myself for what category can I try out next?
Well, actually, when you do the comedy ones, do you set out like this is going to be a funny song or something like that's a funny situation, I'm going to write a song about it? How does the comedy come up?
You know, really, I would think of myself as a cosmic muse. Mm-hmm. And so the cosmic muse shows up at an event and just kind of vibes what it is that's needed for, if we think of music as medicine, like what's needed here? Oh, we need to do some heavy metal. People need to headbang, right?
Okay.
Or it's that I think people need to laugh here. So that's kind of what ends up happening. But as far as the songs coming to me, it's I could be driving down the freeway and recently I thought of a comedy song that I've been working on called the Spiritual Bypass Song, because I was looking at, stuck in traffic and thinking like, oh, there's a bypass over there. I wonder if I can take the shortcut. Right?
Ah.
So that's the Spiritual Bypass Song. So dreams, intuition, I'll often dream songs. I'll dream songs that aren't even for me, that are for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give them to other people. I do jingles. I love doing soundtracks. I just let it come through. And sometimes it's very funny, and sometimes it's actually really serious and very, very intense, you might say.
Well, what are we going to get to hear first?
Well, this song got a lot of mileage on YouTube.
Oh, I think I know
so
which
I
one.
Think we'll
a
play
lot
this
of mileage.
One. Yeah.
Is it sensitive, people?
This is very sensitive song.
Okay. Well, here is Vera McCoy performing Sensitive People live on the Life Changes show here at the Vortex Dome, LA.
Sensitive people, we're taking over. We feel things that you can't. We feel things that you can't. Get that cell phone away from my head. I can smell the gluten in that bread. I've been saging and smudging nearly all day. Your negative thought forms, they get in my way. Sensitive people, we're taking over. We feel things that you can't. We feel things that you can't. When I'm in nature, things are peaceful. I talk to the fairies and plant spirit people. My guides, they speak to me. I feel their presence. I sense what you need. It's this flower essence. Sensitive people, we're taking over. We feel things that you can't. We feel things that you can't. When you brought in your crystals, my third eye opened. I don't like... Open the window, I don't like what you're smoking. Sensitive people, we're taking over. We feel things that you can't. I'm clairvoyant and clairaudient. I'm claireverything, I'm so, so sensitive. When I hear, I really hear. When I smell, I can really smell. But when I touch, it's just too much. Your toilet paper is far too abrasive. I need something softer. I'll try not to waste it. Sensitive people, we're taking over. We feel things that you can't. We feel things that you can't. When I go shopping, I need my organic. If there's no raw section, I start to panic. I nearly breatharian, I don't need to eat. But now and then, I still need some meat. Sensitive people, we're taking over. We feel things that you can't. I've reached the ascension alone in my yurt, so nothing you say to me could possibly hurt. I hide in my tent the night of the burn. There's too much dubstep, I'll never return. Sensitive people, we're taking over. We feel things that you can't. We feel things that you can't. We feel things that you can't. Stay sensitive.
Did you say stay sensitive? Vera McCoy. What was that line? I'm clairvoyant. I'm clair everything.
I'm clairvoyant. I'm clairaudient. And I'm clair everything.
I'm clair everything. Very nice. If you are enjoying what you're hearing, actually, take a look at what Veer has, because he's serious when he says he's touched on all these categories. There are songs for everybody at Veer Tunes, like iTunes. It's Veer Tunes, right. And Veer is V-I-R Tunes. So veertunes.com and veermccoymusic.com is his website. What are some of, I mean, you've done so many fun things. I you know, from the YouTube stuff that you do, but you work with a lot of people, and even the guy from Grateful Dead, Mickey Hart, right? So then some of our past guests, including your wife, and then Appalachia, and some other great people. So what are some of the projects you're working on right now?
Well, I am in a number of different groups. I'm in a band called the Dogon Lights, and we call that Afro Hip Hop. It's a very multicultural band, and it's hip hop meets Africa. One of the guys in the band plays an instrument called the Ngoni, and the Ngoni is from North Africa, from Mali. He's also in another band called Dirt Wire, and Dirt Wire is connected to a band called Beats Antique, so we're kind of all in the same crew. I play a bunch of traditional instruments from different countries, including Morocco. I was in a band called Hamsa Lila for years, and we toured all over the place. And out of Hamsa Lila came House of Hamsa, which I'm currently doing. And that band has a very shamanic approach. So I'm playing a lot of these traditional instruments that are used often in healing ceremonies or shamanic ceremonies, trance ceremonies. And I really love taking those kinds of instruments and combining them over like hip-hop or funky grooves.
Could you name some of them? Like, what are they?
Yeah, so I have in Hamsa Lila, in House of Hamsa, I play an instrument called the sintir, and that's S-I-N-T-I-R. And that's from North Africa, from Morocco. And it's a really cool instrument. It's a piece of wood with camel skin stretched over the top of it, and it has three goat gut strings. And so it sounds like a bass, but they use this instrument in what are called lilas, or all-night trance healing ceremonies in Morocco. It's used in the Sufi brotherhoods, played by the Gnawa of Morocco. And the Gnawa are the old, were originally slaves brought up from Mali into Morocco by the Arabs, and they formed these brotherhoods and play this healing trance music. So I got really into that. So I play that instrument. I plug it into a bass amp, and away we go.
Wow.
But these kinds of instruments are very, it's the repetitive grooves, you know, the sort of, like Teresa was talking about, the dance that gets us out of our heads. And, when with trance music, we really can get into those realms that are beyond the mind.
Sounds like you're saying maybe the rave wasn't created here. It wasn't invented here.
No. The rave goes way, way back, to rituals and ceremonies. A lot of traditional music is ceremonial. And we could get into, all sorts of different aspects, but I found when I've studied a lot of traditional music or indigenous music that a lot of it is in particular kinds of modes or scales, like five-note scales versus our seven-note scales.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the emphasis is on the repetition. Mm. It's on the trance of it, and used in healing ceremonies. We have the griots of Africa who traveled around for healing purposes. So most traditional music actually has like a healing component to it.
Wow. Well, so does your comedy music. So what are we going to hear next?
Well, I was thinking I wanted to say that the comedy thing really came out of me being, I was very ill for many years. And laughter was something that kind of helped me out of the illness or out of being sick. I had Lyme disease actually for like 10 years.
Wow.
And I went out to the desert by myself to get to the bottom of it, which was, I don't recommend doing that, but I had to do it. And so I went out there by myself. And I learned a few things in the desert that helped me to completely overcome Lyme disease, and I've been fine for like seven or eight years, since about 2010, so almost 9 years now. But I was thinking that I'll play one of those songs that came to me out in the desert. If that's cool with you, we'll shift from comedy to
more
devotional. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So what is this called then?
This one I call Only Love.
Only Love.
And this one is coming out on a new album called Desert Fathers. And this came out of me being in the desert.
What is the album called? Desert Flowers?
Desert Fathers.
Fathers.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm. Okay. Well, here is Vera McCoy performing Only Love live here on the Life Changes Show at Vortex Dome LA.
close your eyes, lay down your mind. I can hear a voice calling me from deep inside. It's asking me to breathe. It's calling me to be. It's asking me to feel. It's calling me to heal. There is only love. There is only love, only love. There's no time to waste, no time to hesitate. Give what you seek to see in your own life. If you want love, give some love. Wanna be free, set someone free. There is only love, only love. There is only love, only love.
And there is only one Veer McCoy. Thank you, Veer.
You're welcome.
If you want to learn more, you can go to veermccoymusic.com, where he's performing and some of the projects coming up. You can also hear most of his music, or a lot of it, at veertunes.com. That's V-I-R-tunes.com. Thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. We could we just scratched the surface.
We just scratched the surface together. But this is a good start.
Yes, great.
Good to connect with you. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you, Veer McCoy. And thank you also to Teresa Taylor for being such a great guest on our show. That is our show. On behalf of Mark LeJure, our producer and co-host, and our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, we'd like to, and myself as a host of the Life Changes Show, we'd like to thank not only all of you for listening, but also those who are here today. This is kind of exciting, who are here watching the show and helping out. And, of course, a big thank you to Kaylin. Good to have you with us. And with that, remember that as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com.